You can be complacent and not know it. You don't always have the benefit of having someone in your ear, raising you, developing you, coming from a culture, an environment, a family culture or environment that lends itself to causing you to believe that there is something exceptional that God has planned for your life. And if you're not careful, most of us settle. It is easy to settle. If I take this glass and I pour sand in it and put a spoon in it and stir it up, I have to work to settle it, to stir it up, but I have to do nothing for it to settle. When I take the spoon out, left to its own devices, it settles. And when we settle, we often settle into a place of complacency. Now, complacency is defined like this. It is a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger or defect or the like, self-satisfaction or smug satisfaction with an existing situation or condition. Just satisfied. And in and of itself, that doesn't sound bad, to be satisfied. What makes it bad is when we are satisfied with less than what God has for us. And it is easy to become satisfied with less than what God has for us because we don't always know what God has for us. And we don't always understand what it takes to really revolutionize our lives and come to a place where we really go after what God has. It is difficult now to distinguish between like peace and faith and things that we're taught in church and complacency. How do you determine the difference between peace, which is also a calm and a settle and a relaxation, and complacency? So let's distinguish it by saying there's a difference between trusting God after you have done all you can do, as opposed to complacency is the assumption that you can invest less effort and still maintain more responsibility. You get to the point in your mind that you don't think that you really have to give your best because you're in now. Let me break it down where you can get it good. It's the difference between the dating you and the married you. You're in now. It's the difference between your first month on the job and your 10th year on the job. Complacency. Complacency begins to occur when we no longer put our full effort into becoming what God wants us to be. We are living in a world that creates two polarized ideologies. Follow me. I want you to think with me a little while. We're going to have church in a minute, but I want you to think for a little while. The world has two polarizing ideologies that I want to deal with. One is a deep feeling of inadequacy. On one hand, you got people who feel inadequate. This is a voice that says your best is not enough. And maybe you're not enough. They live with an inferiority complex, an insecurity. Nothing they do is ever applauded within. It doesn't mean that it's not applauded outwardly, but inwardly, you never clap for you. You never appreciate your accomplishment. You're off to the next battle. You're off to the next thing. And when you look back at it, there's always something wrong with it. And you can always see what's wrong with it, and you can never see what's right with it. You have been conditioned to see yourself from a position of inferiority. Often we seek affirmation from others. It makes you hungry for affirmation. You're starving for affirmation. See, when you clap for yourself, you don't desperately need somebody else to clap for you. This is important. It's ruining our relationship because we don't often marry because we want companionship. We sometimes marry because we want affirmation. So we assign to our spouse the job of clapping. And as long as they clap, we're good. But the spouse eventually gets tired of clapping into the life of someone who's leaking. If you've ever tried that, no matter how much you clap for them, they never hold on to your clapping. These are the people that keep asking you, do you love me? You asked me that yesterday. Yeah. Do you think I'm pretty? I told you Monday you're pretty. This is just Tuesday. It leaked out already. Do you think I'm smart? Yes, I think you're smart. And then, oh no, I feel dumb. The reason it's leaking is because you are pouring into them things that they don't agree with. I'm not just talking about so much just believing in oneself. I'm not even talking about believing in God. I'm talking about allowing positivity to be internalized when it is due, when it is really due. I mean, when you've really done the work and you've done a good job, to take a moment, and I have to work on this in my own life, to take a moment to take in good moments. Sometimes I'm so busy going on to the next thing that I don't take time to just selah. The word selah in Psalms is a musical term that means to pause and just breathe in and just take that in and really allow that to soak into you what you've been able to accomplish. Am I talking good this morning? If you don't internalize it, don't assign me the job of telling you what you ought to be telling yourself. I'm not talking about pumping yourself up when it's not good. I'm not talking about lying to yourself when it's not good. I'm talking about applauding yourself when it is good. Clap for yourself. Some of y'all even felt funny doing that. You just felt funny doing that. You're not used to clapping for yourself. But God shows us how to do this in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that God stepped out on nothing and said, let there be something, and let there be light, and there was light, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And guess what? No angels, no choir, no spouse, no friends, no person came along, nobody started dancing, no praise team came along. And so God clapped for himself. He said, and it was good. And it was good. It doesn't have to be finished to be good. It doesn't have to be finished to be good. God said, I got some more to do tomorrow, but that I've already done, that was good. That was good right there. And see, some of you wait too late to clap. You're not gonna clap till it's finished, but you gotta clap behind every accomplishment and celebrate every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in the way. And every time you take a step, you need to clap for that step, because at least I'm further than where I was. I may not be where I'm going, but I'm further than where I was. Am I talking to anybody this morning? And so you need to praise God for baby steps. Praise God for progress. Praise God for improvement. Celebrate within yourself and not be afraid to look yourself in the mirror and say, you did that well. You did that real well. You'll never be able to determine who you need in your life until you fill your own void. You'll choose somebody out of your pain. And then when you get well, you don't want them. I call it marrying your nurse. You're attracted to them because you're sick. And they're good at making you feel better. But then when you get better, you have no purpose for them in your life. And all of a sudden you say you've outgrown them. No, you haven't outgrown them. You just built a world around your affliction. On the other extreme, but equally as dangerous, but the antithesis of inferiority, is the assumption that what God has given to you requires nothing of you. You don't put anything into it. You just received it, you got it, you think it ought to be there. Anything you add to your life requires your attention. If you have a goldfish, you have to feed it. If you get a cute little puppy, you got to walk it. You got to take it out. You got to clean it. You got to take it to the vet. If you buy a car, you're going to need oil. If you buy a car, you're going to need gas. Anything you add to your life is going to require more of you. Stop adding more than you're willing to maintain. Say this word with me. No. Some of you have said yes so much because you assume that you are collecting whatnots to keep on a shelf, but in reality, you keep saying yes and not really taking care of what you already got. You keep adding more and more and more and more to your life, and then somewhere on some therapist's couch, you say, I'm overwhelmed and I'm nervous and I got anxiety, and I guess you do. To him whom much is given, much is required. This grandiose mentality that you have has led you to a place of utter frustration. You underestimate what greatness costs. I'm going to say that again. You underestimate what greatness costs. This is a dangerous thing. You don't seek to keep up, advance your skills, study, or work out. You don't seek to maintain the relationship, keep it spicy and interesting. You think I got that on lock. You do not have that on lock. You come on. You never have it on lock. You don't have your husband on lock. You don't have your wife on lock. You don't have your career on lock. You don't have your child on lock. You don't have your mama on lock. You don't ever have anything on lock. That's why you gotta celebrate people while you have them. You have to love them while you got them. You gotta pour into them while they're there. You don't have it on lock. Somebody is after your job right now. Somebody's after your spouse right now. Somebody's after your house right now. Somebody's after your position right now. Never fall into complacency and think that you are so wonderful that your just being there is all that's required. No, 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 no. Complacency will not do it. You have got to put some grind in it, some sweat into it, some work into it. That's why you don't need too many it's. Because every it you take on is going to take something from you. It's going to give something to you, but it's going to take something from you. And there may not be enough of you to handle all the places you said yes to. And you've got to be able to evaluate. Am I a pint-sized container with a gallon-sized appetite? Complacency expects reward without sacrifice. You want to be rewarded as if you were doing more than you're really doing. They take people, places, and things for granted. That's all it means. You just take them for granted. You just think they'll always be there. And often blame anyone, past, present, or future, to avoid taking responsibility for outcomes. You'll even blame God. God didn't come through. I paid my tithes, I gave my offerings, and they said God was going to give me a double portion, and God didn't come through. He did come through. You spent it. Y'all not going to like me today, and it's Mother's Day. The message might not be good, but the dinner after this is going to blow your mind. It's going to be a great dinner after this. Come on, somebody. You don't understand. God gets blamed for everything that we didn't do ourselves. God didn't do it. You can't sit back apathetically, indifferently, put it on autopilot, and expect God to do everything in your life. It does not work. It is a lackadaisical attitude. It is a naivety that we take for granted and assume that we are just so wonderful and we are just so special and we are just so great and we're just so grandiose that they ought to be glad that I showed up for work this morning. No, I'm not glad that you showed up. What did you get done? And it starts in our childhood. You just wonderful. You just gorgeous. You just special. You just wonderful. And you think you're so wonderful that you don't have to work? That's wrong. You're not that wonderful. We're not that amazed by you. We're not that caught up with you that you can be derelict of your responsibilities and now you want to be celebrated. It is difficult to celebrate a mother that didn't mother. It is difficult to celebrate a man as the head of the household and he's not there and he doesn't provide and he doesn't do and he doesn't work. But I'm the man of this house. I'm glad you told me because these bills ain't saying nothing. Stop taking trophies for races you didn't run.